The stats, the salt, the sanity, and every so often, they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
It's the same old situation.
All right, welcome into another episode of Armchair Sports Talk. As always, I am your host, Eric Dorsch, joined today by Russ Ivanek. Russ, how are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Storms are finally rolling in, so my plants might survive.
Yeah.
We might just make it through 2020.
Well, the plants are going to survive from the storms. It sounds like we might all need to get boats, so we'll see.
That's
Sergeant Salty, Justin Marcus, loving the background today, loving the jersey. I didn't know you'd actually owned anything Stafford because you have such a love-hate relationship with this man.
I love to hate him, and he hates when I love him as well. So I'm here, and I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, well,
it's like bondage gear. It's for pain and pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. And for those who can't obviously see Justin, at some point we're going to try to work this out where everybody will be able to see us when we do this thing. We're still working on that, trying to figure out the way to do it. But for right now, Justin is wearing a very lovely Matt Stafford jersey. Chewing on a paper clip, I'm assuming. I don't really know what that is. And right behind him is a lovely background of an amazing, amazing sports movie, Varsity Blues. Wait, you're pointing to Billy Bob. We have our own real-life Billy Bob in our circle of friends, Paul Vayner. Great guy, Billy Bob 100%. So, but it sparks the first conversation, Jay, so I'll let you go first in it. The reason this comes along, the other night, flipping on the TV, Aaron's getting ready to go to bed, and I landed on a certain movie. And I looked at her and I said, all right, I'll see you in 2 hours. Like, it was just it was that kind of thing. So I want to ask you, if you're flipping, no matter what time of the day, whatever, or wherever it is in the movie, is there a sports movie that you look at your significant other, you look at your family and say, go away, I'll see you when this is over?
Either that or I'll grab the girls and say, sit down, it's time to watch.
That as well. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That as well. That as well.
So I got a couple, but I also have one I have to rule out. Off the top. So I did what you said, but I also got to get rid of one that you guys probably both have that I'm just, it's old hat. It's boring for me. The one that's old hat and boring is Sandlot. I'm good on Sandlot. I'm good with dogs and fences and balls and old guys on porch chairs. I'm good. Sandlot can just stand not.
So yeah, I am going to shove my size 10 Pia Flyers right up your ass.
Yeah, one of us owns the high tops that Benny the Jet Rodriguez wore. One of us doesn't. I didn't have it on my list, but I will say I'm very offended as well. I am very offended as well.
I'm here to shock and awe, buddy. But that one's a not one.
Okay.
So now I'm going to pick ones that aren't going to make sense, but that's just how I roll, right? Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Draft Day. Miracle. Mighty Duck. You're casual. Those are great movies.
Draft
you will watch.
Day. But I would not have thought
draft
you
day.
As a Draft Day. I love that movie. I have it. Yeah, I own it. I would not have thought of you as a Draft Day fan. Okay.
Kevin Costner, write it down on a piece of paper, put it in your pocket. It's legendary stuff right there. So
it's great.
I did like Draft Day. This is where we go off the grid here. There's a new movie with Hugh Jackman called Real Steel.
Oh, God.
Have oh, my God. It? I've seen this.
Yeah, yes. Filmed in Detroit. Okay, okay.
So, yes, it was filmed in Detroit. Okay. It is a sport. It's future robot boxing. I want to see this in the future, so I keep watching it to get prepared to watch it in the future, okay? So Real Steel is the real deal. It's on my list.
I'm not going to lie. When you said Hugh Jackman, my brain didn't go to Real Steel. It went to Eddie the Eagle, the skiing movie he did years ago. Oh, God. That one was a bad one, too.
I haven't seen Eddie the Eagle.
You don't need to.
But
it's a ripoff of Cool Runnings.
Gotcha. My number one, though, just recently, so there's some like bias. It's like what I would like watch right now if it pops on just because it's on my TV all the time. It doesn't matter if it's the first movie, the second movie, or the third movie, but that would be a little movie called Cars through Disney. NASCAR, but animated. It's cute. It's adorable. Tom Mater is played by one of the original, what were those guys called? What was the comedy special with the...
Oh, Blue Collar Comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Larry the Gable Guy.
Cars is a sports movie, in my opinion, and every time it is on, I will sit down and watch Lightning McQueen turn left 100 million times. So, I told you it would be obscure. I told you I'd rule out Sandlot, and those are my movies I'm watching.
I have a question. By chance, do you maybe have two children under the age of six? Because everything you just gave me, other than like one or two movies, has no like dramatic scene of language or sexual violence. Like The Mighty Ducks, are you kidding me? Like all of those, that's what I'm saying. All of those were like great sports movies, but they fit to a perfect demographic of kids. So really, really. He's tailoring.
You mentioned like Friday Night Lights.
Well, I said other than one. I said other than one. I said he had one or two in there that you could maybe say, all right, Nora, you got to get to be a little bit older and then you can watch this. But
hey, I got to work with what I watch, man. You want to know what I'm watching these days? It's all PG and under.
I know, but you don't need Nora to watch Friday Night Lights and then be afraid to drop the ball. You know, like we don't need that problem. Let's not put that in her head.
No, we'll show her Air Bud instead.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Rusty, over to you. Is there a certain movie or movies that if they're on, no matter when they're on, you gotta see it through?
So the actual answer to this is A League of Their Own, right? Like that's why we have this topic, is for that movie.
Fantastic one as well. Yep.
That was my number one.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, Justin has never seen A League of Their Own.
Did anybody ever tell you like a penis with that hat on? Still the best line of all time.
So quotable.
There's no crying in baseball.
And my main criteria for a watch whatever, however many times and whenever you see it come on, is it can't have like a singular plot focus thing. It has to be a character thing. You have to be able to just jump in. And this movie does that. You can jump in at any point, you get it. You're gonna lose. Like, you don't have to know what's going on to know that's hilarious. It's so good. Sandlot is also on there for similar reasons. And nostalgia. Also, The Replacements, again, for nostalgia, and watching Gene Hackman do his best coach impersonation. And Keanu Reeves playing a Buckeye player repeatedly get hit viciously. That's okay by me. The last one for me, though, is Moneyball. For one simple fact, because every single time I watch it, I go through the same thought process of staring at the actor who plays Scott Hatterberg for half the movie before my brain accepts again that it's Chris Pratt. And we start all over the next time I watch it.
Mm.
It is so weird to see him there, and I cannot put it together. But it's him, and that phenomenon alone is enough for me to watch it over and over. So those are my that I'll watch whenever I pick it up. But I think this one was really designed to say A League of Their Own.
Well, then let me lead off. Russ kind of checked a couple boxes for me pretty early on. A League of Their Own, 100%. I own it. I watch every, like, there will be days where I'll be at home going through the DVDs, just kind of cleaning everything up, and I'll see A League of Their Own sitting in there, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm watching A League of Their Own for those many reasons. To this day, I know I said that, does anybody ever say you look like a penis with that hat on? But to this day, one of the funniest things ever might be when they wake him up on the bus. He screams, kisses the lady, and then afterwards says, by the way, I loved you in A Wizard of Oz. It's hilarious. It's just great. So obviously,
is it too late for me to say spoilers? Like, you're ruining the movie.
No, you're just going to you're gonna watch it. You're going to watch it now and be like, oh, my God, yeah, that is funny. That is funny. Absolutely. The other one for me, Russ, I had Moneyball on there as well. For me, though, it was more, it takes me forever to get out of the way of Brad Pitt as a baseball GM. But once I can get through that moment, I'm okay. And then I accept this. I really do. I love that. I think that the scene in the scout room where they just want, where he wants them to keep saying because he gets on base. I think that's awesome. I think it's hilarious. So, yeah, that one is. But my two, and these are two that I've told Aaron a million times, if they're on the TV, I'll go upstairs if you want, but I have to watch these two movies because they're on. And this is because this happened to me the other night. Number one is Hoosiers. I fell in love with Hoosiers from the beginning. Love it to death. Always will love it. And I've told anyone who will listen before, when Jimmy Chitwood at the end of the movie says, I'll make it, I still get butterflies in my stomach wondering, will he make it? I know he's going to make it. I've seen the movie a billion times. But I still, every time, have to sit there, hold my breath as he shoots the shot, wait for it to go in. And to Russ's credit, it's another great one of watching Gene Hackman be a coach in sports. Best movie coach of all time. We've already covered that. And then the other one, Major League. I love Major League. I think it's hilarious. One of the funniest sports movies. And it's the first sports comedy I ever really remember seeing. So I enjoy it for that. The million different characters. Like, someone has to explain to me, if he can't hit a curveball, how Pedro Serrano ever gets a single hit in baseball. Because once one pitcher realizes he can't hit a curveball, everyone would throw him a curveball. No one would ever throw him another pitch but a curveball. And he'd be out of the majors in a week. But somehow, at the end of the season, they say he finished top five in home runs. Explain that to me. But it's still great. I still love it. Plus, Jake Taylor beating out the bunt to win the game. All day, every day. Love it, love it, love it. So those are mine for the movies that if they're on, I got to watch them. I can't stop. Got to get all the way through them and enjoy them. But, Jay, yeah, you need to see A League of Their Own. How you haven't seen it already?
I know. Where can I find this? Like, I'm hoping I can just type in Netflix or Hulu and just find this movie.
Right? I don't know if it's on Netflix. It might be on Hulu. If not, I'm sure you can. One of your million streaming services have it, I'm sure.
Is Angels in the Outfield with, I forgot what the actor's name is.
Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future?
Man, I've got like one baseball movie stuck in my head, and I can't remember which one it is. I'm going to have to watch League of Their Own.
You have to watch League of Their Own. It's based on true events, but it's funny, and it's also a very, very well-done movie. Very good. Tom Hanks, might be Tom Hanks is the most underrated role he's ever had. He's known for a million different things, but Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own is great. Absolutely great, and it's very enjoyable. Sticking with the baseball topic, this one is still up for speculation because, as Russ said before the show, the draft doesn't even start for another hour and a half. But a lot of, you know, speculation is that with that first overall pick, the Detroit Tigers are going to take – why am I blanking on his first name? Last name's
Spencer.
Spencer, thank you. Spencer Torkelson, considered the number one prospect, 6'2", 215, first baseman – slash route right fielder out of Arizona State. And I mean, looking at the numbers, guys, if they want to take this guy, I'm not going to object with it. I mean, Russ, I know the numbers are usually your thing, but from what I found, 54 home runs and 130 RBIs in three seasons at Arizona State, played in the Cape Cod League for two seasons with nine home runs and 32 RBIs. And then before this season was cut short, in 17 games, he had 17 hits, six home runs and 11 RBIs. Obviously, at the end of last year, and for most of last year, they kind of moved Miggy into that designated hitter role. They didn't really want to risk getting him hurt and all that. But until we see otherwise, Miggy is still a first baseman for this team. So, Russ, I'll ask you: is the drafting of Spencer kind of an early sign for, hey, Miguel is probably, you know, his days are numbered? Contract, I believe, expires in 2 years. Correct?
I think it's got actually 4 more years on it.
Okay.
Absolute albatross. But I'll say yes, his days are numbered, but no, it's not Torkelson's fault. It's Miggy's age and his constant injuries and waning effectiveness are doing that all on his own. They signed CJ Cron to a 1-year deal to play first base this year. Miggy only played 26 of his 136 games last year at first base due to DH. And at this point, he's nothing but a DH. So Torkelson next year maybe comes full time. Maybe Miggy can offer him some protection. But yeah, this would be cathartic for the fans looking for what's next, because there is nobody in the system right now who can come in and take this. Of the Tigers' top 30 prospects, zero play first base. This would be their first and only chance to get someone who could be a premier bat to take a spot. So as the sun's setting, it's nice that they have the chance now to actually give us something to look forward to.
All right, Jay. Well, I mean, same question to you, but I'm going to add a little caveat to it. Torkelson this year, assuming. Mize last year. At some point, is it time to say, the Tigers are making the picks, now let's start seeing the picks?
Well, of course. I mean, the more I read up on draft prospects, how they get drafted and when they start, I don't understand the service time thing in their contract, or someone might be able to explain that to me, but they do what they want with their talent and pull them up when they want. And it's like someone gets drafted first overall. I don't know who you are in like another 3-4 years yet. Like I might see it on that one day, but I have no recollection of seeing them on my TV because that's when I get my interaction with the team. So Torkelson, I don't know. I don't know how often first overall picks come into the league, but I'd love to see him in a Tiger sweater this year. To answer your question about Miggy, though, Russ nailed it on the head. You go back and look at his stats. 2017, he started dipping out of his normal batting averages. He had no MVP votes in the voting for that. Everything starts going down. So I think it's just a matter of time, and it is eloquent that we do get another piece as Miggy goes out, because that's our childhood, like, number one from the Tigers. Yeah, I don't know. But, again, it's not so much about Torkelson, but it's cute that their paths are crossing at the same time.
No, definitely, definitely. Real quick before we move on, because we want to get to sports that are actually about to happen here. Before that, I want to ask, there's been all this conversation, all this talk over the last couple weeks with baseball about, are we going to play? How many games are we going to play? We want to pay you this much, but you want this much kind of thing. So, Russ, I want to ask you, give me your best guess here, because no one really knows, and we probably won't really know until the day it actually happens. But do you think we're going to see baseball this year? And if you're the Tigers, that this whole 48 games thing that's been proposed, is that kind of a dream for you? Because it doesn't necessarily mean you don't – anybody gets on a 2 or 3 week long hot streak, you're in the playoffs.
I guess that's true. You could also put it the other way that, hey, it's only 48 games to go to get another real high draft pick.
That's true. Well, yeah, I was looking at the positive. You looked at the realistic, so I understand that.
Yeah.
But, yes, do you think we're going to see baseball this year, or do you think the owners and the league and then the players are just too far apart on what needs to happen to make a season happen?
I want to say yes. I want to say, yeah, we'll have baseball. We haven't gotten anything baseball in quite a long time now, and if it gets canceled, it will almost feel like 2 years that's gone by. And baseball's viewership was already dropping, so that's something that's very dangerous. But these owners are so far off.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like no matter what shortening of the season they propose, it also comes with like 33% of the salary for the players getting paid to them, which is ridiculous. You're going to offer some of these guys $500 million deals, but you're not going to open up your pocketbook to pay the proportional amount of salary to these players. It's ridiculous. Stop sitting on your wallet and actually get us some baseball games when it's safe to do so. They're going to watch every other sport lap them before they come back. And we're in baseball season right now. I want to say yes. It should be. These owners are making me think it's not going to happen, and we'll just see them next year.
All right.
Yeah, you know, Russ, one of the things I was also thinking about, too, with this is that they're arguing over dollars and time. And if mm-hmm. the only other thing that's changed is that the fans can't come and the distribution for food and beverages and all the other stuff that takes place, security, employees, the workplace, it's like if the fans are at the crux of that if they don't show up, there's no need for the food, there's no need for the security, there's no need for the employees. It's like the fans are almost more important to them than the players. They want to cut the players' salaries because the fans mm-hmm. can't come to suck in all and bring in all that money as well. It's like, all right, but I want like people to take note of that. So when we get into next season, make that hot dog $3 instead of $7.50. Because if we're that important to your whole network of money that you're willing to screw over your players this year, take care of the people who actually suck down those Cokes and eat those hot dogs next year. Because that's apparent that it's all about the money to them, which is just rude as hell.
That does kind of bring up how baseball is basically just a sinkhole for fans. You come in and you're trapped in a restaurant that you can only buy stuff from there, and you're here for the next 3 hours or so. So, yeah, if they can't get the fans in there to keep churning that cycle to buy a pretzel, and now I'm thirsty, so now I need a water, and now I go to the bathroom, and oh, look at that toy, and you're out of $200 and you don't even know it. Without the fans there, yeah, you might be onto something that the owners don't even think it's worth paying the players if they can't gouge the fans while they do it.
That sounds suspiciously to me like something that's about, I don't know, 5-10 blocks away from Comerica. It's called Greektown. It's this casino.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about that, huh?
It really, I mean, if you think about it, and I don't want to get too far off topic here, but if you think about it, professional sports in almost all the four major ones we have here, it's the same equivalent. Like you said, Russ, you go, you sit down, you have what you assume is just going to be a nice, fun, enjoyable night, and before you notice, you're out $100, and all you had was, you know, three beers, a hot dog, and maybe, you know, like some cotton candy or something. It really is one of those things where it's almost like a casino in that way. You go in there expecting for the joy, and you really just end up getting raked over the coals for everything you got in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Jay, there's another place that you do that, but we won't talk about that on
it's
this.
It's actually right next door.
Yeah, it's actually right next door.
I leave with good memories.
Yeah, you were so important to them that day, they actually renamed that ATM after you. It's now the Justin Marcus Corner. So
it's the JTM.
Yeah, it's the JTM. Absolutely. So we'll see. Honestly, I hope we're going to get baseball. I agree with both of you. I think that the owners are strict. They're not looking at this from the entertainment standpoint of you could do the right thing, you know, pay these guys what they need to get paid and all that. And you're going to maybe not have as profitable of a year, but all you're doing is showing a sign of good faith to these fans that when we do come back next year and have a full season, fans are going to want to be there because they're going to have gotten that little bit. And for true baseball fans, that little bit's going to be just enough to tide them over. But come next April, they're going to be even more hungry for baseball. So you could do the right thing instead of doing the, you know, the greedy money sign thing. And it could potentially be even more profitable for you in 2021. No matter what you do in this situation, you're going to probably take a loss because even if baseball opens up, you're never going to fill a stadium. It's just not going to happen.
No.
You'll get those diehards that want to be there, those season ticket holders, but too many people, too many families are still going to be too skeptical through this year that, you know, parents aren't going to take their kids unless they can guarantee those kids are not going to be anywhere near anyone else. So you're going to get half-filled stadiums that the money's just not going to be there. Unless you charge $37 for a beer and no one's going to pay that, you're never recouping your money. So this is going to be a loss year, but it can be a year of showing good faith so that in 2021, you can come back bigger and better than ever. And those, you know, like you said, Russell, those $500 million contracts you're giving Trout and Bryce Harper are going to be, you know, you're going to get that money back in one way or another. So we'll see. I don't know, but who knows anyway. Moving on, let's actually talk about a sport that really is going to happen. It's official. Jay and I are excited. We're going crazy. I know Russ, maybe not so much, but this is probably a great weekend for Jay and I because it's golf. PGA Tour is back. They're going to give it a shot. I've been saying all along, I think this is the first professional sport that has to come back. It's the smallest amount of people. You can keep them as spaced out as you want. They're, you know, it's not a roster where you've got 10 guys sitting on a bench together. You know, you can really practice social distancing. And if this doesn't work, NHL, NBA, Major League, all that, none of those are going to work. So this is it's weird to say this is a real good trial run. Let's see how it goes. The field is pretty good. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But before we do, Jay, I'm going to give you the floor for 1 second. PGA Tour Golf back this weekend. What does that mean for Justin Marcus and the Marcus household?
Well, I don't know about the Marcus household because they're all out when it comes to PGA. But for me, I'm all in. I mean, when you sent over the pairings and it got announced yesterday, I didn't just casually hold my phone and look at it. I stopped and I with voice and volume out of my mouth, I announced all the names as if I was announcing them on the first tee. So the pairings are sick. The talent is sick. You know, Tiger's not playing in it, which blows, but you know, the pairings that they've got up there, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch. So I am excited to sit down and watch. And Russ, I think what we need to do for Russ is we need to take him with us when we go golfing so he can see how god-awful I am, so that when he sits down on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and watches these guys, he goes, oh, God, that was a glorious shot. I'm going to sit back and watch that again. I think we can get him. He just needs to know what bad looks like.
He might be onto something because the more I watch the Red Wings, the more I want to watch any other NHL team.
It's a brilliant idea. You watch it and you really do get an appreciation for what these guys do. But also, I've met millions of people who, not millions, but I've met tons and tons of people who I've spoken to them. Golf is so stupid. I will never watch it, never like it. And kind of like with Justin, they go out, they try it once. And whether it's playing or watching, the hooks get in and you become addicted. listen, none of us are ever going to be like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, but are in our heads, we see them doing it and go, okay, well, people can do it. I can figure out how to do it. In reality, we'll never come close, but that addiction is there. And Jay can attest, it's this little thing that happens. You can have the worst round ever. The last shot you hit is going to be the greatest shot you've ever seen, and that's what gets you to come back for more later. It 100% is going to happen. So,
Russ, we're going to make this happen. I want to be your Red Wings, Russ. I want to be here for you.
Worst case scenario, Russ, you go out with a cooler of beer, you get drunk on a golf course hanging out with your friends. That's something you're probably not going to be opposed to either.
I could whip around in a golf cart. That sounds fun. I'll bring my hockey stick.
You bring your hockey stick. You can putt for us with your hockey stick. There you go. All right, well, before we get too far away, this week, PGA Tour is back. Charles Schwab Challenge. A couple of the pairings were released because these are the big pairings. These are the ones that, you know, they've got a head-to-toe big name. So I'm going to go through the pairings, and then we're all going to pick our three, we're going to pick a pairing and present our case why we think they will have the best combined week. Doesn't mean they got to finish 1, 2, 3, but we think when it's all said and done, you look at the rankings and what they did, this is the group that's going to have the best week. First one is Jon Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and Rory McIlroy. That's going to be a tough one to beat. Very, very tough one to beat. Next is Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, and Jordan Spieth. Another very tough one. Spieth obviously has not been playing great golf lately, but the other two, top of their game. Justin Rose, Bryson DeChambeau, Russ, please don't laugh, Dustin Johnson. So, another great one. And then,
that was not me.
Yeah, and then lastly, Gary Woodland, Kevin Na, Phil Mickelson. So those are the top four pairings the PGA Tour released. We're going to go through them and kind of give our opinions. Just because my notes predicate that I do so, I'm going to go first here for one reason. I'm going with the pairing of Woodland, Na, and Mickelson. Obviously, main reason, Phil Mickelson's my favorite golfer of all time, so I can't shy away. Two, I genuinely believe if I say it enough times in a sentence, Russ will laugh at the name Woodland. I believe it. I think it'll happen.
That he is now with Dustin Johnson, and we can't say Johnson is with Woodland. It's heresy. It's straight out shame.
No, it's funny. So that was my main reason. But I actually did a little bit of a deeper dive. I did some looking. Woodland has finished outside the top 10 four times this season, and he's only missed the cut one time. Those are great numbers for a PGA Tour guy. Finishing inside the top 10, you know, consistently is amazing. Kevin Na has made 9 cuts in 12 starts, and he's won once this year. So that helps him. And then this, I think, is the little bit of a secret weapon. Phil has had a really bad record in 2020. He's just not good. But he's the only one playing in this outside of Rory and Ricky that has played competitive golf while the quarantine's been going on. He's the only one that's played in anything resembling a PGA Tour event. It's even on the PGA Tour account, the match he played with them. Yeah. So what I don't understand is there was a team event set, yet somehow Phil finished third. I don't know how that happened, but yeah,
what?
Yeah, no, so it literally is listed on there. Phil finished third. I don't know how that happened, but so yeah, Phil's the only one that's played competitive golf of these guys. Dustin and Ricky and Rory, they played in something, but it really wasn't, you know, it didn't live up to what it should have been. So Phil's the one he's played intense, and he was playing great in the match. Listen, that match shouldn't even have been close, but Phil kept them in it somehow. So I'm going with Woodland, Na, and Mickelson to have the best week. I just think. I think all three of them will make the weekend, but I believe for sure two out of the three will, and that I think is going to be enough to get me the W. So, Jay, I'm going with Woodland, Na, and Mickelson.
Very nice. I'm surprised you went that route because Mickelson has not been playing well at all, but you stay true to your boy, so I give you credit for that. I wanted to go with the main grouping, in my opinion, which is Rory McIlroy. He's favored to win this thing going into it. Koepka with his ridiculous mustache. I hope that's why he plays bad. I'm a big
horrible.
Brooks Koepka fan, but that thing is god awful. The pairing I am going with though is going to be Fowler, Spieth, and Thomas. Just like Mickelson, Spieth has not been playing well. I love Spieth. Ever since he nailed that chip shot, I think it was at Waste Management, but I don't know what course it was. But he nailed a chip shot out of a bunker in the hole to win the whole thing. The fist pump goes up with his caddy.
It was the Travelers. He did that in the Travelers a couple years. Yeah, when they jumped in the air afterwards. Yep.
Yeah. ever since then, Spieth has been my guy. So you're going with your guy. I'm going with my guy. I got Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas on my side. You got some Wood and some Nah. So we're going to see what happens here. But I'm going to try to put it on at work tomorrow if I get back into the office in time. But I'm excited for some golf this weekend then.
All right. And lastly, someone he doesn't probably have any stats, but he's got names that he thinks are funny. So, Russ Ivanek, who are you taking for your best finish this week?
Curveball time. I do have stats.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm not going to be making dirty jokes besides this one. I'm not going with Team Big DeChambeau Energy, even though the jokes are right there for me. I am actually going with the Rahm Koepka, Rory McIlroy team, because they have one thing that the rest of them don't, consistent success at this course across the pairing. Koepka came in second in 2018. Rahm came in third in 2017. Obviously, Rory's the odds-on favorite to win it. The only other two out of anyone, Spieth, has consistently had success at Colonial. Nah holds the record and has been dominant the last 2 years there. But their other pairings have not had similar success. This pairing is the only one that have had two players that have placed in the top three in the last 3 years. So I'm going with consistent success. I'm getting a team that doesn't have the weakest link, that Rory's supposedly the best golfer of the three, and he's the one without success at this course. I'll take my chances that the rising tides will raise all boats, and I'll grab this pairing.
All right. Well, obviously, we'll have to wait till Sunday to see how we did. I mean, if all three guys get cut in the weekend, we're going to know that someone swung and missed. But I think every one of these groups is got enough talent in it to be competitive across the board. So we'll have to see. And obviously, PGA Tour being back, we'll probably be doing this from week to week just to, you know, until we get everything else going. So it should be fun. Moving on, this is the best of topic of the week. And this one should be pretty fun. It's going to be a little bit of a, I guess you could say, a guessing game. We are going to play Who Am I? Each person has picked 3 to 5. We took 5 just in case we have some overlap. We have some backups. We're each going to do 3 for sure. We're going to give a couple clues, and we want to see if the other two people can guess who am I. Now, the way it's understood to me, if you can get it, and Russ, this was your game, so please feel free to correct me. If you get it in the first guess, it's 3 points. Get it in the second guess, it's 2 points. Get it in the final guess, you get 1 point. And obviously, if no one guesses correctly, no points are awarded. So because he's the stat man, I'm going to have Russ keep track of all this because Lord knows I can't. And we are going to play Who Am I? So I'll leave it up to whoever wants. Jay, do you want to go first? Russ, do you want to go first? Does anybody actually have one? They can't wait any longer. They need to make us try to guess Who Am I?
Well, I'm setting up a spreadsheet to keep track of all this, so I'm going to volunteer to not go first.
Okay, well then.
All right. I will do it.
Sergeant Salty is going first. Here is the first round of Who Am I? Now, Jay, you got to give give us a clue. You got to give both of us a second, so that way we don't yell over each other.
All right. I've never won a playoff game. My back is broken, and I need more weapons to be. No, I'm not doing that one. That would be fun. Okay, let's get the Stafford out of the way. Right, okay, right. You ready?
Yep.
I am an Australian South Sudanese citizen. An Australian and South Sudanese citizen. And if we're going to tap out, I'll just move on to the next one.
But, Sam Martin's not still our punter. It's not a punter. It's not a kicker.
So did we preface with these are current Detroit athletes?
Is this it is.
Yes, they
is
are.
Is this Sekou Doumbouya?
This is not Sekou. Okay, right. I'm sorry.
He's a French citizen.
I couldn't remember what he was. Yeah. Okay.
Not a problem. Ross, are you doing a guess or am I moving on to clue number two?
You move on by my take.
Okay.
All right. Clue number two. The average height of his parents is 6'5". You have to believe that this athlete is tall. The puzzled look on your face is just all I needed to see.
Yeah, no, like I'm scrolling through.
your brain.
It's not. I'm going to guess one more time, and I don't think this is right. I'm Thon Maker.
Russ, do you have a guess as well?
I do not.
Thon Maker it is.
It is. Okay.
Ooh, all right. I did not know
he was had Australian citizenship. Okay, Thon Maker. Because you said that, and I had to think of who's really tall. Like, who's really tall? So, okay, what was the final clue?
The final clue was just originally drafted by the Bucks in 2016.
Okay, all right. First one, Thon Maker. All right, I like it.
He'd be tall.
Yeah, he'd be very tall.
All right. Let's go with, I got the choice of picking my athletes because you guys aren't going first. All right, so now we are going to go with this guy. You ready?
All right.
Clue number one. In the 2016 World Juniors, this guy recorded 7 points in 7 games when he played and helped his country of Sweden. 2016 World Juniors.
What? No.
So you know we're not talking about soccer.
No. Didn't Mantha have like a hot juniors one time?
Yes, but Team Sweden.
I didn't even know. What nationality is Anthony?
He's definitely Canadian.
He's Canadian. Okay. I've never even heard the guy talk, so I have no idea.
He's from the Providence of Passenger.
Ah, Providence of Passenger. Yeah, up by Nova Scotia. Gotcha. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. Great play.
Yeah, Halifax.
All right, Russ, do you have a guess on clue number one? 7 points in 7 games.
Current Swedes that would have been there and would have been scoring a lot. You know what? I'll take a random shot because I know he's Swedish and the forward, Christopher N.
That is incorrect.
Well played. Very well played. Okay.
All right, moving on to clue number two.
Okay.
His off-season workouts in Sweden include working out on a track and field with hurdles, and he likes to travel a lot. So he doesn't stay local when it's the off-season.
What, do you have this person's Playboy profile? What the hell? He likes to travel.
If you thought that was a weird one, you are going to love my clues.
Yeah. All right, so... Who is Swedish on the Detroit Red Wings?
No, I'm really hammering the Swedish angle right now.
Oh. Is it Gustav Lindstrom?
And that is your second guess for clue number two, and that would be incorrect as well.
Oh. Who in the hell is young enough and a current Red Wing? All right.
I love every second of this right now. Eric, do you have a guess for clue number two?
You're talking. No, I really can't think of anyone.
All right. This next clue has to be a dead giveaway. Has to be. It's the easiest layup of the night. Ready?
Yep.
This man was placed on waivers and claimed the very next day by our Detroit Red Wings.
No luck.
This happened recently. Russell, I can hear your brain working.
Who was... Like this season, this happened.
Yeah.
Who the hell did we grab off waivers? It's not Fabry.
Plenty of guys,
it's
but...
not. Yeah, I'm out. I'm tapped.
All right, Eric with no points at the second one. Yeah. Russ, do we have a final answer on clue three?
I'm gonna feel like a real asshole if I don't figure this out right now.
Yes, you are. I'm sorry, but you will.
Claimed on waivers. Swedish.
World Juniors recently.
Apparently, World Juniors in 2016, which means he's probably 21 now.
Close.
What nationality is Dennis Chalowski? I can't think of anyone right now.
He's also Canadian.
And I can't think of anyone right now. I'm literally like blanking.
All right, do we want to do it, or Russ, do you want to throw out a name?
I don't know how to say his name. Is it the Bromy guy?
Pronounce that one more time.
Matthias Brom? Or Bromy?
Nope.
However you say it?
Nope.
All right,
nope.
Jay.
All right,
Jay, you made it all the way through. Who is it?
Well, he was dropped by the Maple Leafs, which they're great for drafting talent and losing him. This would be Dmytro Tamashov. He played for Team Sweden in the juniors.
Yes, that's what threw me off then.
Yeah, I don't know. I never said he was a Swede. I just know that he played for Sweden because that's what Wikipedia told
well
me.
Well played. All right,
that was
that's
the second one. He's 23 years old. All right, the last one we're going to do. You guys ready for it?
Yep.
My last player, who am I? Clue number one, he went to the University of Washington for 4 years, and then he was drafted in the first round by Atlanta.
He went to the University of Washington for 4 years.
4 years.
And then was drafted by Atlanta.
In the first round. So a four-year player in college, first round draft player, which is just astonishing because I don't think that happens enough anymore.
I love that I have no idea what sport.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what sport. There's four different.
I think that's the point.
Atlanta has multiple franchises. Well, I mean, you can narrow it down, though. It's either baseball, football, or basketball. They don't have a hockey team.
Anymore.
Well, but we're doing current, so, okay.
Wish they still existed,
yeah,
though.
When the Thrashers have been gone long enough that's a veteran player if it's, and plays.
My next clue will give you the sport.
And plays, okay, well, what's the next clue? Because I would be guessing.
Rusty, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
Yep,
okay. On. He finished his rookie season in 2013 with a career-high 70 combined tackles, a career-high 17 pass deflections, two interceptions, one forced fumble, and two fumble recoveries in 16 games and 16 starts. So his rookie season was one of his best years so far in his career.
Marcus Trufant.
Damn it.
That is incorrect.
Wow.
What?
Okay. That's the only guy I could think of that came out of Atlanta. All right.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, when you said that, Russ, I was like, that has to be it.
Wait. What was your guess?
Trufant.
Yes, he guessed Marcus Trufant.
Desmond Trufant?
You are correct, bro.
Oh, God. I guessed the wrong name.
Yeah.
Why did I think his name? Who the hell is Marcus Trufant?
I believe there is
You're just thinking of me.
Marcus?
He has two other brothers.
They're playing in the NFL?
They all played. They all played corner in the NFL, and they've got two other brothers.
Marcus Trufant, yeah.
Yeah.
But he played in.
I'll take the technicality.
Yeah, take the technicality all day, man.
Now, the one weird thing that I realized after we just did these, Thon Maker is 23 years old, Tamashov is 23 years old, and Desmond Trufant wears number 23 with the Lions, which that was very creepy that happened.
All right. Well, very well. So, Jay, you're going to have to do some work, though. I mean, Russ and I are both on the board. So that's the thing. You lose a chance to get points when you're giving the I think we should award Jay a point for stumping us. I think if you can get all the way through, you
I'm
get a
fine
point.
With that.
Yeah, you get all the way through, you get a point. All right. I'll take over. Yeah, I'll take over.
Okay.
I'll do this one. All right. So, like I said, I think Russ is going to get the first one off the first clue, but I'm going to put it out there. Both of you should point on this. If you don't point on this one, then I did not do an easy start to this. First clue: I played college basketball with my brother.
Played college basketball with my brother.
Markieff Morris?
Nope.
Jay? Nick Stauskas. I have no idea.
No. All right. Wow, I really thought that was going to get – Russ was going to tee up on that one. All right. Next one. I've created enough posters to cover a house.
What in the world are we – are you talking about posterizing someone or he actually is like in the poster game?
He's posterized enough people.
And a brother. Oh my God!
All right,
this is getting squirrely.
Blake Griffin
guys.
Have a brother? Is that who we're talking about? Blake Griffin?
You guys, is that your guess?
That is my guess.
Blake Griffin is correct. Blake Griffin played college basketball with his brother at Oklahoma.
I completely forgot about his brother.
Yeah. I figured that there was only so many guys that have, you know, brothers that played pro sports. Brother, and then final clue was going to be the dead giveaway. I wear 23 for the Pistons. So
you also picked 23.
What
weird,
is
up guys.
With 23?
Yeah. All right. All right. So Russ gets 2 points on that one.
Yep.
All right. Let's give this one a try. According to ESPN, I am the second tallest player on the Lions.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was tallest. Immediately.
Frank Ragnar.
Trey Flowers?
No and no. Okay. Okay. I've only played for one other team in my career.
Ooh. What is Drake Bell?
Oh, I almost did this one. Jesse James?
Jesse James. Jesse James, yeah, is correct.
Oh, damn it.
But I only Pittsburgh. Know that one. I should have known that.
Third clue was my name is the same as a famous outlaw.
I would have given it away.
I would have given it away. So, all right.
And almost a porn star's name. So, yeah, that would have played too.
All right.
Specific knowledge, folks.
Yep. All right. Here's the third one. Here's the third one. I'm a power forward who went undrafted out of UNLV in 2015.
No, Christian Wood.
Wow. Russ is just, yep, on top of this today.
Well, that's because that was, in fact, one of my clues for a player I now do not get to ask about.
Damn. This is rigged. This is rigged.
Yeah, Russ is just on top of it today. All right, I like it. I had to scratch one because one of mine is a player who doesn't actually play anymore. I didn't realize it until I thought about it in my head and just looked on my phone. Clues were going to be I play defenseman for the Wings. I am not a candidate for the C, which you really aren't because you don't play anymore. And I have a hit named after me.
Cromwell.
Yep. So, all right. Well, Russ pulled ahead a little bit there, Jay.
I let it be known my only points have come on defense.
But this is only your second chance to go on offense. You got time.
All right. So this is where we have to make it up, because if Russ stumps us, he gets more points, but we have a chance to catch him.
And you have to do a lot of work just to catch everyone up. The score is 9 for me, 1 for Justin, 2 for Eric.
Okay.
Awesome. It's rigged.
Hey, I'm keeping score. No, it's totally on the up and up. All right. We'll start off with, it'll make me smile. So we'll start here. In his first game for the Griffins, he became the second highest Red Wings draft pick to have played for Grand Rapids. And granted, this was in 2014.
His first game in 2014. Shoot, man. 20, so that's 5 years removed. He better still be with, he has to still be with the team. He got drafted in probably in 2013, played his first game in 14. Oh, good God.
I think he's too, the guy I'm thinking of is too young to be who I'm
Justin
thinking.
Applicator.
No, he was on like the cup team in 10, wasn't he? Or in 8?
He's certainly older than what we're looking for here.
Dylan Larkin.
No.
Okay. That's he's too young to be that. All right.
All right. Are we ready for the next clue then?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. This is a fun one and it's going to melt your brain. He has 2 more career regular season hat tricks than Pavel Datsyuk.
What? I know, like, Johan Franzen was known for having, like, games where he would just go off. He's still technically a Red Wing. He's,
yeah,
on the long-term IR.
But what's he playing in Grand Rapids in 2014 for?
I don't know. Damn, dude, this is bizarre.
I mean, I already guessed him once. Why not? Let's guess him again. Anthony Mantha.
It is, in fact, Anthony Mantha.
Yeah. Get out of here. That's, yeah, not, see, it's rigged. Stop it.
What's hilarious?
For the record, he has 2 career, yeah, regular season hat tricks.
I was going to say, Mantha's got like a couple, but what was hilarious is when you gave that first clue, I literally, the only 2 names I had in my head were Larkin or Mantha, and I'm like, well, I already guessed Mantha. Like, let's try Larkin. So, all right, Anthony Mantha. Okay.
Wait, Russ, did you just slip in there that Datsyuk doesn't have a regular season hat trick?
I did, and that's the brain-melting part.
Yeah, that's insane.
I've been incepted.
Well, because your first instinct is to go, all right, well, Datsyuk has to have at least a couple. So you're sitting, right, there like, who has like 5 or 6 hat tricks? And then you realize all you need is 2.
Yeah, all you need is 2. Yeah, Justin Applicator has more regular season hat tricks than Pavel Datsyuk does.
So he's got
okay,
one.
On this, this is getting ugly. This is getting ugly, and I don't appreciate it.
All right. So we'll move on. We'll move on to the next one. This Long Beach, California native didn't go far for college, attending Cal.
Okay.
Or I'll say where he played football at Cal.
Played football at Cal. Okay.
This Rocky Lombardi, because he looks like he's from California with his golden hair.
No. He doesn't play in Detroit, a Detroit sports
I'm
team.
I'm being an idiot.
Yes.
I know.
Yet.
Oh, God. Don't do that to me either.
And this person is still on the Detroit, on a Detroit sports team.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure, because I can only think of one guy that played football at Cal, and he doesn't play professional football anymore, and he didn't for very long.
Is not Chavez Best. No.
Oh, yeah, that's played at Cal. Okay. No. No. Oh, Jay, you might have to take this one. I don't know.
I'm drawing a big hole goose egg over here. I don't even know what sport to pick. I'm thinking football.
Well, I mean, yeah, you just got to go through the football team. I don't know. Trey Flowers. It's not right, but I don't know.
Nope.
Give me... shoot. Give me a long snapper on the team. I don't know.
Don Muehlbach.
It's not Don Muehlbach.
Okay.
Every clue I could think of for Don Muehlbach would have given it away.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
That's why he got on here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the next clue. He is a former fifth-round pick who has only played for two teams in the NFL.
Former fifth-round pick, only played for two teams in the NFL. Including, we're assuming, the
including
Lions?
Including the Lions.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Jay, start going through who played in New England.
Yeah, for real, though.
That narrows it down immediately. I don't think he's still on the team.
Allison Geronimo.
No, it is not. But he does.
I'm waving the white flag.
Well, Mike Daniels isn't still on the team.
Not technically.
Yeah. Wow, Russ had a good one here. Russ had a good one here.
Two teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was Geronimo because he played for the Packers.
I'm tapped.
Okay. We'll move on to the final clue, which is my favorite clue that I made for any player.
Okay.
When he's not catching passes on the field, he's showing off his singing chops, having appeared on American Idol in 2017.
Oh, Marvin Harrison.
No, it is not, in fact.
Oh, Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones. God dang it. Shut up. Marvin Jones.
Yes, it is Marvin Jones.
I did not know he went to Cal. Okay.
Dang.
Yep. Marvin Jones. Okay.
I indeed only had 1 point in this whole entire tournament.
Yes, 9-1-5. Eric storming back here.
Yeah.
All right.
I still can't catch you, so yeah.
Not unless we go to a bonus round, no.
We might have to go to a bonus round, okay.
So, my third one here. The first clue. He has two cousins who are linebackers in the NFL.
Okay. Two cousins. So
assuming he also made it to the NFL. He's got relatives that also play, potentially. Jamal Agnew.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, I mean, Eric's shaking his head at me. We get a clue that he's got relatives. You can pick anyone on the team that you want.
Yeah, Jay, but he doesn't have to be a football player. Like, you can have, literally, Tony Finau's brother, or Tony Finau's cousin is Jabari Parker for the Chicago Bulls. So you don't have to, they don't have to play the same sport.
Oh, I get it. I just made my correlation that there's all NFL. So Jamal Agnew is my choice.
Two cousins who are... It's a basketball player. It is. I just cannot think of who it is. All right, go ahead. I don't have a guess on this one.
All right, we'll move on to the next clue then. While he was drafted by Detroit, he is now on his third stint with the team. Third separate time on the team.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Not the Morrises.
What is Kyle Quincy? He was only a two-time stint. I'm not guessing that, by the way.
Is Alex Avila back in Detroit? I don't know.
Oh, that would be a backdoor good one. But no, I don't think he is.
That'd be horrible. This is a good one because it's got, as soon as I find out who it is, I'm going to be pissed because I'm going to.
Yep.
I'm trying to think who's came and gone three times in Detroit.
All right, I'm going to guess Valtteri Filppula.
No. It's not Filppula.
Not Filppula.
Although that would be pretty cool if he had two cousins that were linebackers.
See? That would have been history if we figured that out today.
I know. Pistons re-signed Ben Wallace. It's Ben Wallace.
It is not Ben Wallace.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, I got nothing. I cannot think of anybody that's come and gone three times.
The third clue is his most memorable moment with this Detroit team was getting traded away. But he has also been traded too.
Oh, my God. So you, like, just cultivated the perfect set of questions that's right underneath our nose.
And this is why I did this one last.
Traded too, but he also got traded away.
Well, you will have known him best. The most memorable thing he has done in a Detroit jersey is get traded away.
Okay.
Big trade, blockbuster trade. Later on, for his second stint with the team, he was traded back to Detroit.
What? And now he's still a current player on a team for our sports team.
He is now again.
Yeah, it's not a Detroit. It's not a Lion because we didn't make any big blockbuster trades ever. Ken Holland was here, so it's not a Red Wing. It's not the Morrises aren't here. It's not one of the Morris brothers.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Russ might be getting a point here. I really
can't. Cameron Maven?
Cameron Maven.
You had to Google, didn't correct. You? You had to Google. Yeah, you Googled.
My hands are right here.
You Googled.
Okay. No, because I almost did Cameron Maven today, but he got traded to the Atlanta Braves, so I decided not to do that unless he got traded at another point in time, and I got bad news at the wrong time.
Okay.
He was traded from the Braves to the Tigers.
That's what it was. I thought we traded him from the Tigers to the Braves.
To the Marlins in the Miguel Cabrera trade.
Ah, okay.
His cousins, Aaron Maven and Detroit Lion, Jalen Reeves Maven.
Yeah, okay.
Holy shit.
See, I told you it wasn't, wasn't a football player.
But all Justin right. did, you're in right. fact, get a point.
Russ gets 10. I finished
no, with... No, 9.
9? Oh, I thought you said you
already
had 9.
Yeah, Justin got the point there.
Oh, Justin get the point there. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
9, would I have? 5? 5. Jay finishes with 2.
Do we have any extra ones we want to run through? Or
I got
call
one. I got one, but I'm going to, Russ, you can only get a point on this because you're not going to get a guess unless Jay can't guess any of them. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
But I'm going to watch Russ because I guarantee you after like the first or second clue, Russ is going to be chomping at the bit. All right, here we go, Jay. You can, Jay has 2.
All right. Jay has 2 points. Yeah.
Jay has 2 points. All right, Jay, I'll give you 4 points. So I'll give you a chance to pass me. Okay, 4 points. Uh-oh. You can get this one.
We'll take them from behind.
God. All right, ready?
Ready.
I made my MLB debut in 2018.
What's the guy that stays in a van and uses an ass to cut his beard down by the river?
It's not Daniel Norris.
Damn it. Okay. But he's recent, so.
It was fairly. I was a compensatory pick in 2015. For losing Max Scherzer. Third clue will give it away immediately. It might not.
Nico Goodrum.
Not Nico Goodrum. Lastly, I have the same name as a famous actress.
James Winslet.
All right, Russ.
He doesn't play for the Tigers anymore. It was a long time ago.
Like, exact same name? Or I mean, they share a name?
If you say it the way it's supposed to be pronounced, it's the same name.
Huh.
He got a lot of attention. He got a lot of attention early on in the seasons when he played up here because of his name.
Oh. Oh. This hurts now that I can't
Five,
remember. Oh.
Four.
I'm not going to remember three, it at that time now that there's a timer.
Two.
I just looked at the whole roster. I still can't figure it out.
Kristen Stewart.
That's
I really Ooh. Thought, I really yeah. thought Russ, I thought the compensatory pick would have gotten Russ. Russ is such a numbers guy. I thought that would have had him. Kristen Stewart. All right, so Eric gets a point.
Well done. Eric gets a point. That was a clever one.
Jay, do you have any extra ones that you can throw away?
I've got two. I mean, defense wins championships, baby. I'm going to get some more defensive points here.
All right, I have six. Russ has nine. So we'll say that I can only tie Russ if I get this. Russ will get a – Russ and I are both going to guess, so.
Okay, you ready? Here's a good one. His WHL days are since long gone, and it shows in his current production. He has never gotten back to his days of 79 goals in 70 games, which got him drafted in 2005. There's a lot there.
2005.
Hans Nielsen?
Incorrect.
How many points in how many games?
When he played in the WHL,
okay.
He had 79 goals in 70 games, which got him drafted in 05.
Yeah. I don't know. Danny DeKeyser.
Which is astonishing.
I hate Danny DeKeyser.
God. Well, he went to Western, so I'm going to say hard no.
Yeah. Danny DeKeyser. I don't know. I hate Danny DeKeyser. No. Valtteri Filppula can't be right. So, yeah.
Incorrect.
I don't know. I don't know anybody on our team old enough to have...
Would you like to guess a third option?
No, Voltaire. Filppula would have been my guess because I don't know anyone else old enough to have been.
That's fine. All right. Clue number two. He shares a first name with another legendary Red Wing.
Sorry, I don't know any current wings named Gordy.
Fair. Very fair. Shares a first name with another legendary Red Wing.
That should give it away, and it's not, and that pisses me off.
I know. I was worried about this clue because it should have been like the third clue.
I know, but
the third clue is even better than this one. Oh man!
No, wait, hold on. I'm going through the team.
I know. Do you want me to read them off again, or do you want to?
I'm literally just going through the team names, and then.
What was the first clue again?
The 70 points and like 79 points in like
2005. He got drafted. So in the prior season.
No Googling.
That, in the,
I'm not.
In WHL.
When you look to the right, I assume you're Googling.
I'm thinking. That's my thinking side.
You're good. I know you're not. It's fine.
79 goals in 70 games. It got him drafted, but to the wings in 05. Played in the Western Hockey League. He shares a first name with a legendary Red Wing. And not on purpose. That was just his name because that's what he was given.
There's no one on our team named Steve, Gordy, Nick, Darren, Sergey, Vladdy, Ted, Sid.
There is someone named Darren, actually.
Yeah, but it's not from 2005.
Actually... Because that would put him at about 32 to 34. So I don't think he'll score that much. Sir.
It's not Darren Helm.
Well, I just said that there was someone else named Darren.
No, I'm saying it cannot be Darren Helm.
H fits.
Darren Helm?
Is that your guess?
Yeah, I think that's a consensus guess here. Darren Helm.
He was also known for breaking away from the pack, but never being able to finish.
Darren
Helm.
Darren Helm.
Darren Helm.
How did Darren Helm ever score? How many goalies had to fall over for him to score that many points?
In the Western Hockey League, too. Wow.
You know what he did? He missed the goal, and it bounced back to him, and he scored, and they called it an assist and a goal. That's how he got all those points.
Oh, my God.
I guess Gordie Howe used to do that all the time. He knew how to bounce it off the boards at Olympia, that he could, like, bounce it, and it would come back on the other side, and he would score like that. Wow. Okay.
That's the thing I've heard.
All right. So, Eric, you promote yourself up to, what, 7 now?
And Russ has 11. Nine? No, Russ has 11. I never would have gotten that if Russ said Darren. If Russ hadn't said Darren, I never would have gotten that. So I didn't.
Russ, how many points you got there, good sir?
It's 11. We each got 2.
Okay. You want to give it 2 to both of us instead
of
splitting
it? Yeah.
Okay, so the last one I've got real quick.
Further in the basement.
I had fully I'd fully looked over Darren in that one, so I never would have gotten it.
Yeah. Well,
Eric, if you get this right,
it was like, who's that old?
Yeah. All right, well, give me a chance to win it here. We'll just say that if Russ can beat me to it, he gets the win. If I can, we'll eliminate the – Russ should get this one, though.
If you get it on the first guess, Eric, you win.
All right.
If you go down to the second or third, you tie Russ.
Okay.
Okay. And the first clue I just realized is you ain't getting it right.
Well, let me tell you right now, if it's hockey, you have we might as well just end this now because I'm not
– Fine. Preface, not hockey.
Oh, okay, cool.
This man donated 1,200 cases of water, which if it's a 24 rack, you're looking at 28,000 bottles of water to the Flint crisis when it happened years back.
Who is anyone with a soul and millions of dollars?
I know. The answer is yes, but for this specific person, he did this and he plays for a Detroit team.
Matt Prater.
I think he did donate, but he's not the guy I'm picking on right now.
All right.
I'm going to need more than this. I don't know.
You want me to move on to the next one?
I mean, okay.
This is where it gets freaky on me once again. He wore the number 23 with the Minnesota Twins and switched over to a different number when joining the Tigers.
Torrey Hunter doesn't still play for the Tigers, so if you're saying Torrey Hunter...
That is an accurate statement, and I'm not that much of a boob.
Okay, just check.
DJ Krohn?
Incorrect.
Played for the Twins.
Played for the Minnesota Twins, changed his number when he came here.
He used to wear 23, which, again, all my questions had the number 23 involved in them.
Okay.
Now, Eric, you do get one more guess at Tyrell.
Yeah. Jacoby Jones. It's not right, but it's the only name coming to my head.
Not Jacoby Jones.
Okay.
All right, we're moving to 3, the final clue.
Moving to 3.
All right, Eric. To Ty Russell, who is very smart and good at this game and keeping score. He's a Swiss Army knife. This person would be an excellent spokesman for a liquor company if they had a slogan that was, it's not just okay, it's good rum.
Nico Goodrum.
Nico Goodrum?
Eric had it first.
Oh, my God. the cheesiest clue ever.
Dear Lord.
Right, Eric, hey, good point.
It's good rum.
All right, well. Russ comes out with the victory in the first ever edition of Who Am I? I got a feeling we're going to be playing this again. We might need to tweak a few things and expand it out to make it a little bit more mind-bending. But next week's Who Am I will be players who have had an association with Detroit sports. That won't kill all of us. As always, my thanks to the incomparable, the champion, Statman Russ Ivanek.
I just want to thank you for doing the Christian Wood one and stealing my clue, because it's the only reason I won.
I do what I can. As usual, you make us sound a lot smarter than we really are, buddy. I always appreciate it. And as always, Sergeant Salty, Justin Marcus, you've stuck with the background, you stuck with the jersey, and you gave us a good rum for our money on that last one.
A good rum for your money. Well, I'm happy to take this jersey off for a lot of reasons, but mainly because I'm sweating my ass off wearing it right now. So I'm very happy that we plowed through this podcast. We did a good job, fellas.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, golf's back this week. So excited for that. We've got the chance for sports to be coming back sooner rather than later. We're going to cover it all as it comes back. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.